Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, take your seats. Have your first drinks. Please come down.
What you just heard is what our summer could sound like. The United Kingdom right now is about to move to stage 3 of a 4-stage reopening. But even those sounds, the sounds of stage 2, to be honest, are completely foreign to me right now. These things are happening because vaccines work and pandemics end. The UK is several weeks ahead of Canada in terms of vaccinating everyone, especially with their second doses. But we are catching up quickly. So, would you like a little glimpse of what our summer might sound like? A story about how it feels to realize that nobody's wearing masks and everybody's smiling. How it feels to plan an actual vacation. How that first drink with your friends tastes. Everything you're about to hear today is going to happen to Canada soon. I promise. The only questions are when and how we make sure that this time the reopening lasts forever. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Ebony Renee Baker is a freelance Canadian journalist living, luckily for her, in London, England. Hey, Ebony Renee.
Hi, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but I bet given the news I'm seeing coming out of London that you are doing better.
Yeah, I constantly am feeling a bit, guilty when I talk to my Canadian friends and family because we definitely somehow, I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were not in the best place, but somehow we have ended up where we are actually going out and kind of enjoying life right now. So it's been good.
Well, that's what we're talking to you about today, because I feel like we're about 6 weeks or so behind you. So the real thing that I first want to know is just, what's the first thing that you did?
Upon lockdown lifting, I mean, the thing is, it's been such a, and it's kind of been the same in Canada as well, such a staggered approach to lockdown lifting that I'm kind of like, when did things open again? Like, it was kind of like one rolling lockdown. But I guess as of March, things have started to reopen slowly but surely. Honestly, I think the first thing I did was walk around to find a walk-in space at an outdoor patio and find a spot. I wasn't too optimistic. I wasn't booking tables because a lot of people were doing that ahead of the announcement that was meant to be made last month. So I wasn't optimistic, and then I kind of regretted it. So the first day things opened, so that was April 12th, I found myself and my roommate just walking to find anywhere that would serve me alcohol at a like much more expensive price than I have been drinking it at home. So I think that was definitely the first thing. And upon actually finding a place, it was just like, wow, have not done this for like, what, maybe 6 months, maybe more.
Do you remember what you drank and how it tasted?
Oh yeah, we had a bottle of rosé. It wasn't very good. It was out of like a bag filled with ice. I don't think restaurants are really putting that much effort in because they're like, we can pretty much do whatever we want and people are going to pay for it. So we did that, and I had a very expensive plate of hummus and a pita. So great first day out of lockdown for sure.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So how, you mentioned it's been gradually reopening. Can you kind of, for those of us who have seen things just gradually close for the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Describe that process. Like, it was a month ago that it was lifted enough for outside beers. Now I'm seeing things open up indoors.
Yeah.
What's it been like?
To try and sum it up, there's a four-step roadmap, as they call it, that Boris Johnson announced And this roadmap is basically the strategy that they're using to bring us out of lockdown. So the first step is was two dates. It was March 8th and March 29th. And in that time, you were allowed to start seeing one person out of your household outside, things like that. It was quite, it wasn't too hectic. It was kind of just like education was resumed and yeah, outdoor gatherings. And then from there, within each step, I think what they said is that there's about 5 weeks within each step. So that takes about 4 weeks to get the data, to analyze it, and then 1 week to announce that we're going ahead with the next step. So after the last one, the next one was April 12th, and that's the one that I kind of touched upon, where patios were open, also personal care, which was another huge thing, I think. That is...
Oh my gosh, haircuts?
Yeah, so that is another thing. But at the same time, everything's been booked up, like, completely. And me, right. Again, lacking foresight, I didn't book a haircut until maybe a week before the announcement. So I actually only got my haircut this week, and that was I booked it like early April, and didn't get it till early May. So I think that shows how much people have been really anticipating all of these like lockdown lifts. So along with that, public buildings, gyms open, outdoor dining, like I said, some outdoor venues like zoos and theme parks, and events like funerals and weddings. I think it's up to like 15 people for weddings. So that's where we're at now. And then it's actually been announced that the third step, which is, I think, probably like the biggest one. I mean, like the images I'm sure you're seeing of London, definitely there are people who are just kind of like doing whatever they want at this point. But the next step, which is as we speak, happening on May 17th, which is this coming Monday. So that basically allows for indoor dining. We've got a traffic light system for countries we can travel to, which is also a huge thing. Up to six people within inside indoors. So you can see up to six people indoors. So following that, there's another one in June where essentially, I'm not sure how this is going to happen, but apparently what we're aiming for is June 21st for all restrictions to be lifted.
Wow, first day of summer.
Yeah.
So as these lockdowns have kind of been lifted in stages, has anything spiked cases? Has anything slowed the decline even that you guys have been seeing?
I mean, so that was my main hesitation when this roadmap was announced. I was like, surely there are going to be kind of roadblocks to this roadmap, kind of things that are going to happen. But as we've seen over the last couple months, there actually hasn't been anything that has been like too much of a concern. So basically the roadmap was announced in line with the vaccination rollout. At the time of this conversation we're having, it's about 53 million total vaccine doses have been received across the UK. So I think that of course is the main factor in these staggered restrictions lifting. Like that's the main factor in having this being able to happen. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I saw this report basically saying from the Telegraph that Britain is no longer actually in what you would call like scientifically a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think these steps are huge. And ultimately, I think it does just come down to the vaccine program and the success of it. For me personally, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, we know the people who need to get vaccinated are vaccinated and these steps are continuing. So it looks like we're in a good place, essentially.
The Big Story will be back in just a minute.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
What I really want to talk to you about, and it's going to sound kind of silly when I ask it, but I think the emotional side of this is something a lot of people in Canada are looking for because things have been really tough for the past few months. What is the vibe like in the UK right now? Like, are people walking around grinning? Is it just business as usual? Like, I'm trying to picture, I can't picture a life that's not like the one we have right now.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's so funny me like explaining this because it's just kind of been, it's still so fresh for us as well. It's still so like, oh my God, is this actually happening? But I remember that first day that I went to a patio and got mildly drunk and just was sitting around other people. I think that feeling in itself, that first day, was just so euphoric. It was just kind of like, oh, like I legitimately almost cried because I was like, am I actually sitting at an institution and someone is serving me? And it's just these really, really little things that we definitely took for granted. And in the weeks now since then, I've found, since I've been outside at different street markets, different restaurants on their patios, you definitely are finding a little bit more of kind of strangers talking to strangers. And especially as a Canadian, I don't want to like stereotype myself, but as a coming here and being so used to kind of just talking with random strangers and speaking on the subway and all that stuff, it was not a thing. So seeing that now is definitely, and we kind of saw it through lockdown as well, whenever you'd go to the supermarket or whatnot, people are definitely a little bit more friendly, but especially now knowing that we are on the come up, like on our way out, hopefully, of what this last year and a half has been. You can see it. You can see that people are excited to be out and excited to be interacting. And I remember I was sitting at one market. I was sitting at a picnic table, and the table beside us, these two men started talking to a man who was sitting there alone and just started like whipped up this conversation. And I think that's something that probably, I don't know, might not have happened before all of this began. So I think seeing those little things gives you hope. And I mean, right now, I've said to my friends, I do feel like a different person. I feel like my life has resumed a little bit, especially being in your 20s. You're just kind of like, and of course, like living in a different country, you're kind of like, have I been wasting these last precious months, this last year? So yeah, definitely. I think this is so worth the waiting, and knowing when it's being done at the right time also gives you that sense of security. But it's been really, really great. And I think it'll just continue to with being able to just see people inside. I know people have already been kind of doing that, but when it's actually for real, like given the green light, definitely lots of improvements there as well.
Well, they're doing some sort of pilot project, right? I mean, I've seen pictures of people in nightclubs just dancing right on top of each other and drinking and talking with no masks. And it's hard for me to look at that and believe these pictures were taken like right now.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, so this is part of a pilot project, but also just even thinking about that, I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I could do that just yet or ever. Like, who really even likes nightclubs to begin with? But so yeah, there is basically what the government has implemented here is, it's called the Events Research Program. So that's taking place basically from now until the summer. In this pilot program, they're basically trialing the use of testing and other techniques, obviously social distancing versus the lack of social distancing, to kind of determine how we can go ahead with these events, if we can go ahead with these events come this mythical June 21st date. And I think this program is definitely going to help determine restrictions and other events like weddings and everything else. But I know a couple of friends who have been or have booked events that are under this program. So I think it also applies not just to nightclubs, but there will be like concert venues and stuff where the social distancing or some other restrictions are lessened. So yeah, the reality of that ever coming back anytime soon is still quite foreign to me. And I don't know if I could do it. I think a lot of people are kind of like, I'll take the restaurants and I'll take going to the park and stuff. But I don't know if I could do a nightclub just yet.
What about after June 21st? When you think about the summer, when you talk to your friends or people you know about what they're doing, you mentioned some people are already hoping to book events with this pilot project. Once things are fully open, assuming we see no other case spikes and it doesn't look like it, what's the summer going to be like? I'm only half joking when I ask if it's just going to be like a drunken street party orgy the entire time. I don't know if you saw the gum commercial that went around of everybody running out of their house and then chewing gum so that they could kiss each other in the street.
Oh, and yeah. Like,
there's going to be a lot of marketing centered around that. And I want to know what happens.
I mean, I know you're joking, but at the same time, even just walking down in central London, there's like in Soho, there's all these restaurants and terraces and they're just filled to the brim. Like the social distancing there is very questionable, but you're outside, so it doesn't matter. But you walk down there and even then you're just like, I find whenever I meet up and I've been meeting up with a lot of friends after not seeing them for a year and you want to give them your full attention. But at the same time, and I find it's not just me, everyone else, their eyes just constantly shifting to other people and looking around and like whether that is people you're attracted to or just like people watching and being so, I find that my attention span right now is just so, so low because there's so much going on. There's so many people to look at. I think one other thing that happened recently as well is that my friends and I were walking around. No one was wearing masks because it was an outdoor venue. And we were like, is everyone better looking now? Or like, what is it? And then we were like, is it their cheekbone? They have such great cheekbones. And then we realized the realization set in where it's like, no, everyone's just been wearing masks for so long that you just don't see people's faces. As I've mentioned, I've been so hesitant before each step of this roadmap that I still don't fully believe that June 21st, we can just see like an elimination of all restrictions. But given that does happen, I can't even imagine like what's going to happen. I mean, I think the main thing, people are just really excited to travel. And that's such a huge part of culture, especially in the UK and Europe, just being able to go on the weekends and whatnot. So even now with things opening up, I know like I'm already looking at hopefully going to Portugal with this next restriction as of next week that's been announced. But I think alongside traveling, I am excited for the summer. I'm excited to see what happens. I would love to come back and visit Canada and kind of travel. And I mean, if there is a drunken orgy in central London, I would not be surprised. Like if that gum commercial is a prophecy, like sure, go for it. After June 21st, like maybe anything is possible, I think.
Ebony Renee, thank you so much for giving us a glimpse of what I hope is our future, and maybe wait like 2 months before you come back to Canada, just so you can actually do something here.
Yeah, definitely. I'm feeling a lot more optimistic now about what's happening here, talking about it. So thank you.
Ebony Renee Baker in London. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. You can also, as always, email us, TheBigStoryPodcast, that's all one word, all lowercase, at rci.rogers.com. Stephanie Phillips, Claire Brassard, and Ryan Clark produce The Big Story. I'm your host, Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. We'll talk Monday.